Our scripture today will be found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29 to 12, 2. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you would like to, or you just read it up here on the screen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this reading, for this word which you have given to us. We ask you, Lord, that your spirit of grace opens up our hearts and our minds, that we receive whatever it is that you have for us, be it challenging or encouragement. We also pray today for your mercy upon the expounding of the word on the sermon. May it too be used for you alone, and anything that is not from you is forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious love in this moment, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 to 12, 2. Hear now God's word. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Make sure I didn't skip ahead here. Okay. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. About David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Preparing the way. Hebrews chapter 11 is a fairly well-known chapter in the Bible. Psalm 23, you know, right? 23rd Psalm. So that's kind of well-known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter, you know that? Love is patient, love is kind. That's also a fairly well-known chapter. This too kind of has its own description. It's known as the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it runs through the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and talks about all the people that have come before and all the ways that they had lived. Now, I've seen this sermon done before on this scripture, and I absolutely loved it. It was in seminary. A woman had got up and spoke about this chapter. And as introduction to the chapter, she talked about the church and what she sees when she sees the church. She said, I look out into the pews and I see men and women dressed in T-shirts and shorts. I see some wearing glasses and sandals. And starts to describe the clothing that she sees. And then she goes on to say, and I see a young man sitting over there wearing a zoot suit. you know what a zoot suit is? Anyone have a zoot suit? I want to see it if you do. Wear it for me. It would be impressive. 1920s or so, very fashionable during the time. Big wide shoulders, small waist kind of thing, zoot suit. She also went on to say, and I see a woman wearing a summer dress with a big frilly white hat with flowers on top. You can bring that back too. I think it'd be wonderful. She goes on and on and on talking about the style of dress from different times that she sees sitting in the pews. The illustration was poignant and wonderfully presented, much more so than what I just did. She's very elegant, and she went all throughout all the decades to way back. The point of it was that, and I've told you this before, Trinity United Methodist Church is not the body of Christ. It's not the church. It's part of the church. Part of the body of Christ. Other parts of the body are the other churches that are celebrating worship with us this Sunday. Are those churches that celebrated worship on Wednesday? There's other people out there that are celebrating and worship God wherever they are. They too are part of the church. We're all put together to make up the body of Christ. However, even all the churches in all the world today, all around this earth, are still not the entire body of Christ. Because if God is eternal, so is the church. And so that was her point. That the church transcends time. That those who came before are just as much a part of the church as we are today. What Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, reminds us is that these people who lived by faith according to God's word helped to create and be foundational to what we see today. That they have a part to play in our life in this very moment. In the Jenga tower that Drake and I built today. For God, that church was built layer by layer upon the foundation of God's love and God's word. God meticulously created the church layer by layer, row by row, block by block. With great love and dedication, God poured God's love and very self into what we see today. It's a glorious message and wonderful as we look at these men and women who obeyed God in some very difficult times. They stood up for what was right, what was just. They stood up for their Heavenly Father and later for their Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be in the knowledge of Christ in this very moment. The interesting thing is, however, as we look at these men and women that this Faith Hall of Fame mentioned, none of them were perfect. In fact, many of them were far from perfection. Social media, as we know today, likes to look at individual people and find the worst in them and put that out there so that we can keep on seeing that. If we would do that, we could do that with each of these individuals. Moses murdered a man on his first day when he realized that he was actually an Israelite, and he tried to be a savior to the people, so he murdered a guard and then subsequently ran away and disappeared, trying to not be in the limelight any longer. When God did finally call him specifically, he made excuses for why he couldn't do it. David, of course, is an easy one to pick at. Committed adultery with another man's wife, and then when he wouldn't play along, had him murdered. And then his fatherhood skills were very poor. He didn't care much. He loved his kids, but he didn't have much to say about them or to do with them. And they had a rough time, a very rough time. And there are many others. Rahab, as is listed here, is a prostitute. None of these men or women are perfect in any way. However, the reason they made it into this Faith Hall of Fame is that, in spite of their imperfections, they trusted in God when it was important. They trusted in God when the chips were down. When all else seemed to fail, they knew that God had all the answers. Because of that, because of those moments in their life, they trusted in God. We get to be standing here today and sitting here today and worshiping God. However, when we look back at the church, remember that Jenga tower, and I said, you know, this can represent the body of Christ that God had built? I think when we look at the church today, we don't see that nice Jenga tower. We see maybe something that looks more like this. Holes in it. About to topple at any moment. Church today doesn't look very It doesn't look very good. It doesn't look perfect at all. The church today has made many mistakes and almost seemingly toppled over at one point in history or another. If we were to have a Jenga tower representation of the United Methodist Church today, it would look far worse than that tower looks. It would be swaying back and forth in the wind, and everyone would be afraid to stomp anywhere near it for fear that it would fall. Even though the church today seems rather shaky because of the imperfections that are within it, because the church is made up of people, we can still rejoice because, as Hebrews 11 reminds us, the church is still loved and blessed and created by God. The church is still not created for a moment, but created for all eternity. In spite of its shakiness, God will still hold it up. God will still make sure that it stands. God will still make sure that it grows. The neat thing is, though, however, as we look at this cloud of witnesses, this one here, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we see people who have witnessed to their faith and live their faith, it reminds us of this, that it's our turn. It's our turn to put a block on the Jenga tower. It's our turn to now place our lives. And the thing that we want to do is the thing that everyone before us has wanted to do, is to make that as foundational as possible. To trust in God with our faith in such a way that those who will come after, and there will be others who will come after, will be able to know what God's love is as we know what God's love is by those who have come before. Generations down the line, that church, whatever it might look like, whoever is in it, will be there because of God. Because of God through us. We are laying the groundwork today for those who will come next. I pray that we do so through faith in Christ. Because that faith is sure and certain and does not waver and does not disappoint, because Christ is with us always, and we can be very thankful for that. Part of that faith and that knowledge that Christ is with us, regardless of how topsy-turvy things may look on the outside, is that one of the ministries that we do here in the church is a blanket ministry, blanket and shawl. And some of these blankets go to newborn children. The shawls go to people who have been through difficult things, cancer, lost a loved one, sick, ill, whatever it might be. And people in the church make these blankets. If you would like to be part of that, let me know, and we'll point you to the right direction. And so we're going to pray for these blankets, and that they who receive them. Understand the faith of Christ and know that they are loved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these blankets which were made in your name. And Lord, we bless these blankets. And we ask that you bless the persons who will receive them, whoever they may be, that they may know that they are not alone, that they may understand that they are indeed loved, thought about, and prayed for. And pray, Lord, that they're able to see you, to gain strength in whatever moment they are in, and to know that they're able to get through it, whatever it is, with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love that we can share freely with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I leave you with this benediction from Romans 15, 5-6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.